Hi, everybody. Welcome to New Life Live. Steve Arterburn here with Dr. Jill Hubbard and Dr. Sherry Denham. Maybe it's your first time to ever tune in today. We're going to be talking about the impact of sexual addiction, following up on that KNBC Channel 4 spot on Every Man's Battle. I was able to see a preview of it. It was fantastic. And we want to help you today. If you or someone in your family is struggling with the impact of sexual integrity issues on your family, 1-800-229-3000 to join us on the program.
I find myself constantly trying to take care of everything for my husband.
I'm in a marriage. I just got married 3 months ago, and it's a complete disaster.
I feel like my life is nothing but a rut.
Well, that's good news, because a rut has two open ends. A grave has the ends already filled in.
Boundaries don't have to have timelines. You just simply say, when this behavior ceases, when you get into therapy, when you do the following things, then we will talk.
God's whole program is, when we've been trying it one way, then we try it His way.
Play therapy or drawing, art therapy, that works really well
takes
with children.
Time.
That's what your 30 days of celibacy has brought to light, is that, okay, you can manage this, but boy, he can't.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to New Life Live. Steve Arterburn here, and as always, I'm sitting in front of two wonderful professionals here, Dr. Jill Hubbard, Dr. Sherry Denham. Hi, guys.
Hello.
Hello, Steve.
You both are therapists here in Southern California.
Yes.
Yes.
Do you fight over clients?
No.
Do Jill and I fight?
No. No.
You have enough people.
We do.
Coming.
Yes, we do.
All right. Well, both of you have had experience with sexual integrity issues as impacts on the family.
Yes,
we Either have. Of you want to talk about that a little bit?
Well, I know personally, I have felt the impact of it as being a wife who had a husband who struggled with sexual addiction. So he happened to be a pastor, so that brought a whole nother layer of confusion for me, right?
Mm-hmm.
But it was painful to walk through betrayal, to feel, you know, the addiction to porn, and then it moved into affairs and prostitutes. So it got very bloody and very painful. And so I work with women, actually, you know, have done the Women in the Battle here within this last year.
We have something next year coming up. If you're struggling in that area where someone in your family has been unfaithful, but you haven't experienced healing from it.
Right. So important.
Right. A great need, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because the women have kind of been the ones that have been suffering while their men are acting out, and then they get help, and then the women find themselves at a loss. Now what do I do? Right?
And then there are us men who have been the victim. I've never been a wife, but I have been on the other end of betrayal.
Yeah.
Right.
Very tough.
Right. It's not just women who get betrayed.
Right.
That's absolutely true.
That's right.
It goes both ways.
It really turns your life upside down. And there's so much shame attached to it. And it's not like one of those things you just talk about with your friends over coffee.
No.
Where do you go with these shameful, painful things that are happening? And so to come together with a group of other women, or for the men, to come to an EMB, a powerful way of them getting honest, no shame, no judgment, just really coming out and talking about the struggle and how it's impacting their life and family.
And, you know, the impact on the kids, oh my goodness, they're the ones that really end up devastated.
Well, it's that undercurrent of something not being quite right in the home, you know, whether it's outright in the open or it's more covert. And I think there is a confusion that happens for kids in that kind of environment.
Yeah,
there is, very much so.
Okay, well, not only are we going to be taking calls about that, but we've got an Every Man's Battle that's, it's like the Every Man's Battle that was on last night. And it's the last one of the year. It's coming up in 2 weeks. And so, what a great thing when you say, okay, 2011, I'm going to take care of this. 2012, I'm going to live a different life. You can if you go and you just comply and do what the people at the workshop tell you to do. Your life can really be turned around. So glad you're with us here today, especially if it's your first time to ever tune in. We're glad that you're here. And we'll go right to the calls after this break here on New Life Live. You know, you can always hear our program on newlife.com. You just click on newlife.com right there, and it shows you how to listen to the program anytime. We're also on Sirius Satellite Network, and you can get us there at 2 o'clock, or no, 10 a.m. Eastern Time on Sirius XM.
You think I'm a great person, full of life and fun to be around. You say you love me, but if you knew what was going on in my head, I don't think you'd love me anymore. I saw my first girly magazine when I was 7, and I was hooked. I look at porn every chance I get. I've tried to stop over and over again. Sometimes it works for a couple days, but then I fall right back into my old ways.
At New Life, we've helped thousands of men just like this find hope, healing, and a plan to move forward with their lives through our one-of-a-kind Every Man's Battle Intensive Weekend. Call us right now at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
I want to stop. I need help. I can't do this on my own.
1-800-NEW-LIFE.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now, back to the program.
Let's go over here to Marie from Cambridge, Maryland, listens online. Hi, Marie.
Hi, how are you?
Doing all right. What's going on?
Oh, I'm so glad that I got to call and you answered the phone. I had a really important question and show a lot of effect of what sexual integrity does to a family.
What does it do?
My husband actually sexually assaulted my daughter. It's been about 2 years ago. He was given 5 years.
How old was your daughter?
11.
Did you have to call the police? Were you the one?
Well, unfortunately, we didn't do it right away. And he never denied it. And we talked about it, and we decided that it was the best to go ahead and turn himself in. So he was sentenced to 5 years. He had 4.5 suspended. And once he was released from jail, we tried to reconcile, not for him to immediately move back in, but just to work things out, share a child together.
Right.
But it didn't seem like things had really progressed for him as far as him going to counseling and therapy. Still had a lot of anger, a lot of control issues.
Right. Oh, I'm so glad you brought up the anger.
Yeah, I think that was the major cause of the abuse, not desire, but just control and anger.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. You know, we always say that if you don't know what to work on and you're a sex addict, work on the anger. And I've never heard any sex addict ever say, oh, I don't have any of that.
Yeah. Right.
They haven't.
Yeah. So now we're actually divorced, and he's fighting me for custody of our 2-year-old son.
Well, you ought to be able to win that.
Well, I thought so, too. We went to court, and we're in front of a magistrate, and the magistrate gave me sole custody because he has to register as a sex offender and not allowed on school property and things like that.
Right.
But she ended up giving him tons of visitation, overnight visitation. It boils down to like every other day and every other weekend.
My gosh.
Yes.
Wow.
So is there an attorney involved in this?
Well,
or child advocate?
I finally, after that magistrate gave him that, I wasn't suspecting any of that at all. I wasn't, it took me so off guard, and I didn't have the financial resources to get an attorney, but now I do. And he's trying to fight me for joint custody. He's not happy. I was so surprised now he wants joint custody because he's saying that the school will make provisions for him to be able to come to the school. And my concern is just like, he's going to be spending the nights with him. And
what's the question for us then?
Well, my question is, my husband, my ex-husband, of course, is now trying to manipulate and control me into saying that I'm doing the wrong thing for our son, and that, why can't he, I shouldn't be taking his rights away from him. If something would happen to him, he wouldn't have any rights to him.
Right. So the question for us would be,
Should I continue to pursue to fight this, or should I just allow him to have the joint custody?
Okay.
Why is there a question?
Here's what the question probably would be better if it was, why is it that I question myself?
Yeah.
See what I mean?
Well, because he's created a lot of doubt.
Okay.
Why are you even talking with him?
Right.
Well, we haven't. We didn't talk for some time, but he actually moved without giving me notice that he moved, and he moved in with roommates. So my son still has to go there on the weekends. This is still,
You know what? Your attorney needs to jump on this and prevent him having to stay in a home with a sex offender with roommates that you don't even know.
That I don't know, right, exactly. Mm-hmm.
And in fact, if I were you, I wouldn't be turning my child over to that situation.
Yeah.
I would.
I don't want to.
How old is your son again now?
Two.
Oh, he's
two.
Only 2 years old?
Oh, mm-hmm. My gosh.
Oh, Marie, absolutely.
Come on.
Yeah,
you've got to step in.
Oh, gosh. See, that's what I keep getting. Like, I have no support from our church. They've kind of, like, just rejected us. And
so what?
Really,
you know what? Listen to me.
Because,
listen to me.
Because
you
they're not equipped to deal with it.
You're a mother. You know what to do. Quit listening to your husband. Quit listening to your church. They don't. Obviously, they've shown they don't understand.
Right.
It's too big for
you're
them.
You're uprooting a two-year-old and sending a two-year-old over to a group of roommates' house with a sex offender.
And I know all that, and I totally agree.
Okay,
I just felt like I needed someone else to tell me
back
that.
Back to this. You need to ask yourself why you would question that. You're a mother that needs to fight for her little boy.
And that's what he told me. He said, I'm a father that needs to fight for my son.
Fine. Let him fight for him, but you win.
But the thing he also said to you, Marie, is that you shouldn't be taking his rights away. Mm-hmm. The truth is he took his own
there
rights away.
There you are.
Yes.
And that's what I told him. And
yes.
My fear is our son's going to continue to be punished by
his
crime.
What does that Bible say about arguing with a fool? Mm-hmm. Says not a very smart thing to do.
Right.
Now listen to me. You know what to do. You know what to do. You need to quit asking people what to do. You need, if your attorney isn't aggressively moving on this, you need another attorney.
Okay.
You go to the DA, you go and find out what resources you can utilize that can help you.
Right.
And you don't give up. And you stop.
It's shocking, though, but I'm hitting roadblocks. You know, when
I know.
You think
well, you
a
will.
Sex offender, you think that that's
no,
not
no,
going to
no.
happen.
The
but
court system,
I know.
The court system is called also the roadblock system.
Right.
Okay?
Yeah.
That's your job, is to overcome every roadblock.
And you get with some child protection advocates.
There you go.
You know?
I did call them because
good.
It's showing some some signs of things that
you
I'm concerned
get
about.
With them. They and are going to herald with you.
When's the next time your son's supposed to go stay with him?
This weekend.
I wouldn't. I mean, I just, I'm t- I don't want to advise
you, know,
you to break
be,
the law, but
it would
man.
Be neglectful.
Mastrate Steve.
It would mastrate Steve.
Oh, yeah. Gosh.
Marie, it's almost neglectful for you to send your son over into that environment.
It is.
Okay.
And you're to be listening to a sex offender who's spent time in jail, you're listening to this person and trying to reason with him?
Well,
one
you know,
day,
so,
your
so
son
Marie,
will either be grateful you protected or wonder why you didn't. Go ahead,
right.
Jill. Sorry.
So, Marie, I think you need to gather some people around you that will help support you.
Yeah.
You
can
know?
Pray for that because that's what I need.
Yeah.
I feel like this whole thing is just
it's,
everyone
it's big.
Stepped away. They didn't know how to handle it. They didn't
right.
know how to help
yeah.
any of us.
And it's
yeah.
long-suffering.
Yeah,
right?
It is. It's
and people don't know
something we're
going to
deal
that.
With for the rest of our lives.
That's
and there's
right.
very little support, very little, because no one knows how to handle it. No one knows mm-hmm. really what to say or what to pray for or
people,
nothing.
There is somebody that knows, and that's you. You know what to do. Now you need to go do it with confidence, okay?
And
so,
get some folks
so,
around you.
Yeah,
when Jill said, get some people around you, call Child and Protective Services. Ask if they have a support group. Where
yes.
can I go to be around other parents who are also in the process of defending the rights of their children and their
right.
safety? And just start asking. Start asking for therapists that work with sex offenders. And just, you're going to have to press
you,
in
you have
and work
to be
hard
persistent. Yes.
To not lose heart and to get around a group of people that can help keep you sane. Because you know the truth. Like Steve's saying, you know it. You just need what Jill said is to get connected to other people so you can stand in the truth
mm-hmm.
and not waver.
And just realize that, you know, the system is screwy. And,
yeah, they,
you know, family law.
Help.
Oh,
tons
yeah.
of help.
Yes. The offenders have more rights almost mm-hmm. than the victims.
Right.
Right.
We haven't, yeah.
So that's why you have to be persistent and know that you're right and that this is a system that feels like it works against you.
Right. It has.
Right? This is where the enemy wins
start.
A lot
mm-hmm.
because people get worn down.
Yeah.
We're on your side.
Mm-hmm. We're with you.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Now, I want to tell you why your husband turned himself in. It wasn't because of character. It was to cut his losses.
Mm-hmm.
See, he realized he didn't have any other option. And so he just turned himself in because that might give him the most amount of, and sure enough,
the least amount of time.
Yeah, and sure enough, he ends up 6 months out of 5 years. Is that right?
Yeah.
That's all he served?
That's all he served. Okay, I hope, well, I believe God wanted you to call us for a reason, don't you?
I do too.
Okay, go help that little boy. What's your little boy's name?
Aiden.
Well, we're going to pray for Aiden, and I pray that you will find the resources to encourage you. Child Protective Services, ask them for a parents group, whatever you need to get it so that you don't lose confidence, okay?
Yeah.
I'm glad you called.
Thank you, me too.
All right, well, there's just one. I'm going to send you a copy of Wives in the Battle. But there's just one example of the impact on the family. You need to take care of these things. And the sooner, the better. Let's go to Kay from Washington, D.C. WAVA is the station. Hello, Kay.
Hi, how are you today?
Great. You sound chipper.
Yeah, well, I love your show. I always do. And your topic this afternoon is very timely. My husband is coming down to Atlanta tomorrow.
Okay, so how do you feel about that?
Yay.
Yeah.
Well, no, I'm very optimistic. I caught him 7 weeks ago after years of guessing and wondering. And he is relieved, and he said that I changed the internet, I changed the television, and he said that's fine, you can call all the shots, so I'm very encouraged. But my problem is, I don't know where to go from here. There's so many years of anger and hurt and frustration.
Sure.
And trying to be intimate
right.
with, you know, my husband and getting nowhere, and I realize that alcohol has probably been a huge factor in his disinterest in me in the evening and being plugged into his office computer for hours, just totally detached. But now I don't know, like, how do you rekindle and how do you restart that romantic side? We went on vacation recently and it was nice, but it's going to take me time. And
yes, it
is. Of course it
is. And if he hears what is being said at EMB, this Everyman's Battle this weekend, he's going to hear that he needs to give you the space and the time and the freedom to deal with all of this. And he's not going to come back and pressure you or stress you out over what you need to be doing. Now, reality is that Hugh Hefner, when he created Playboy, didn't tell men that this is going to decrease your desire for a real live woman.
Right.
And that's what it does. So it makes sense that his desire for you isn't there. It dies when a person gets involved with the artificial, with the fake, with the idealized picture of women and movies of women. So he needs some time to heal from that, and you shouldn't expect yourself to feel any differently than you do right now. You're entitled to those feelings. And if I could get inside your head, I would take all the worry out about that. And you guys need to heal together. I mean, what do you two think about her, where she is and what she needs to be
dealing
with?
Well, I think, you know, it is very hopeful that your husband's willing to go to EMB. Because
right.
being involved in his addiction, you know, he doesn't have to deal with his feelings of inadequacy and dealing with the awkwardness of intimacy when he's all by himself, right? So as
right.
he experiences some freedom, he's going to be then starting out anew and learning what it means to be truly intimate. And so for you too, because you've lived with this distance for a lot of years.
Right.
Right? So for you, of course it's going to be frightening as well. And so this is a kind of one step at a time period in your life, season that you're going through. And after your husband comes back from EMB, yes, he's going to need to give you some time. He's going to have all these realizations, and a lot of times they're really gung-ho, but you have to remind him that you need some time for all of this to catch up to you.
Okay?
Yeah. You guys ought to get into some counseling together to help this go as smoothly as possible.
Well, the thing is, in our counseling in the past, he's never been authentic.
Okay. Well, let's assume that he's going to be that once he goes through.
That's what's going to be different when he comes back.
So don't.
If he truly embraces the program, he will be open and ready, to be honest.
The less you can say before, you know,
yeah.
and give him the break that, hey, he's going and he yes. did it, and let's see what it's going to produce. But if you're always saying, yeah, well, you know, you never did this, you never did that, then that's going to kind of drag him back down in it. And that's why you need...
I've never thrown any of that in his face.
Good for you. Now is the time for you guys to get some help to try to heal this together. And you probably don't even think you love him anymore, would be my...
I care about him.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, Kay, and I want to encourage you in authenticity as well, because you have some hurt and anger that has been stored up. And you need to be able to bring that to him. A lot of times the women are afraid to bring their hurt and anger because they think that they're going to send their husband further away.
Right.
And it's not true. He needs to hear the pain. He needs you
after
to bring that to him.
After he's gone through his treatment.
Right.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
After
Absolutely.
EMB. And then when you guys are in your couples counseling.
Right.
Okay. We'll be back after this.
At New Life, we are passionate about helping people experience recovery. And it's no exception when it comes to recovery from the addiction to drugs or alcohol. We are very grateful to have found what we believe is the premier facility to offer a Christian 12-step model of care. It treats the whole person and offers biblical values as the foundation for treating the mind, body, and spirit. Our partner in drug and alcohol addiction provides exemplary medical and psychiatric care, as well as Christian-based psychotherapy, pastoral counseling, biblical studies and meditation, educational groups, worship and prayer, and a Christian 12-step program. The approach is non-denominational and guides the patient to experience freedom through a renewed relationship with Jesus Christ. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE if you or someone you love is struggling with drug or alcohol addiction. That's 1-800-639-5433 or go to newlife.com. 1-800-NEW-LIFE, 1-800-639-5433.
Hi, this is Stephen Arterburn from New Life Ministries. We know that Christian counseling changes lives. We hear evidence of that every day.
My relationships with my husband, with my friends, with my family are much richer and deeper and honest. Particularly my relationship with God, I see Him in a more accurate form and begin to trust Him more. There's joy and there's peace because I have the internal tools that I can trust. So it's radically changed my life. I'm just not even the same person.
Our nationwide network of licensed Christian counselors means there is help available near you.
Take the leap, jump in, and go for it. It's changed my life completely.
You don't have to be stuck where you are, but you can't really expect to change unless you take action. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. It could be the start of a whole new life for you. Christian counseling works, and we can help. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE today. Someone who cares is always there at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
We'd love to hear from you if you have a question or comment. Call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now, back to New Life Live.
We are back. Well, we've got Every Man's Battle coming up. If you want your husband to go, call us. It's the last one of the year just coming up. So call us, 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Let's go to Julie from Birmingham, Alabama. She watches us on FamilyNet. Hello, Julie.
Yes. It's from Birmingham, Michigan.
Sorry about that.
Oh, that's okay. Okay.
Julie from Birmingham, Michigan.
You don't have the southern accent.
Okay.
I'm a Michigander, Julie. I get that. Don't take
it
personally.
Okay. Well, I wanted to tell you, too, that I do support you, and I've bought numerous books from you, and I really appreciate your ministry.
Thank you. We appreciate you. You're the only reason we get to do this.
Okay. Well, I know that the show is on sexual addiction.
Yes.
I have a situation of being married for 34 years and situations of this is it really involves numerous affairs or acting out with other women. The most recent one was like 12 years ago, and that because I ended up having a lot of information on what was going on there and confronted him, he did admit to it. And he did stop the affair, and we did go into some counseling, but he didn't continue in the counseling.
Okay.
But now we're back at the same place again, and he is like 61 years old. And anyways, it's a situation that my question is, I am trying to find out because he almost, it does appear, or because I'm trying to understand sexual addiction, as far as affairs are concerned, it almost seems like he's like on a drug or something.
Yeah.
That he just.
He is.
Mm-hmm. Is that correct?
It's called dopamine. It's like a dopamine fix. It actually changes the brain chemistry.
Makes a dope of me mm-hmm. is another way to, yes. to look at it. But, hey, why haven't you suggested Every Man's Battle to him?
You know, he won't. I've just recently, not long ago, I suggested counseling. He wants nothing to do with the Lord Jesus. He knows that I'm a Christian.
Well, this is something that works for secular people that don't want anything
don't
to do with Lord Jesus either. And why yeah. can't you say to him, honey, I've dealt with this for you for 34 years. I want you to do something that takes 72 hours. If you're not willing to do something for me after all this for 72 hours, we don't really have a relationship, do we?
No, and he'll probably say no. That I know he'll refuse, totally refuse.
Okay, so then what do you do?
That's what I'm kind of seeking out.
Then you say, well, honey, then why don't you find another place to live with somebody that'll take care of you? Now, we're not saying that so that he'll divorce you or you divorce him. We're saying sometimes it takes being that bold before a man wakes up.
Okay.
Because really he wants to keep you, Julie, but he wants to keep his addiction.
Oh, I can see that because he knows I've never had an affair my whole life, and when I even said, I just was kind of trying to shock him a little bit. As a Christian, I wouldn't do this, but I did say, well, why don't I go? Well, but I guess I should go see other men. But absolutely not. How could you even think of this?
Of course, because he wants it all. But what Steve is inviting you into is a bold move. There's a lot of women who actually do have affairs because they are so vulnerable and they're angry. Mm-hmm. And they do it in a way of trying to retaliate. And let me just speak to those women or women that are tempted right now. Don't do it. It only makes things so much more painful and layered and horrific. And it just adds more guilt and shame. Yeah, on your life.
No, but I would never do that because of my relationship with the Lord. Mm-hmm.
I get it. But you know what so many women are afraid to do, Julie, is what Steve's inviting you into.
Right.
It's making a bold move to say, I cannot live in this situation with you having your addiction and me.
Right.
And I need you to step away. We need to step away, mm-hmm. not divorce, but step away for a period of time until you figure out whether you want to get help.
Yeah. Well, I think he's actually maybe has been to an attorney, and I have tried to get information just to protect myself, but.
Good.
That's good.
But you need an attorney. You need an attorney. And let me just say this, the less boldness that you show, the less of a person you are to him.
Was that right?
Oh, totally. Mm-hmm. He will do whatever he can get away with, and as long as you're willing to be this compliant wife who never causes trouble and all,
slaps him on the wrist,
he'll
but continue, then you're always there.
He will continue to be a person who's unfaithful to you until you go to your grave.
And Julie, in the past, he's had affairs, and somehow you guys have gotten through that. And he hasn't gotten a lot of help, it sounds like, right?
Can I just say this?
Oh, sure.
During this period of time, he went through having ED, and I thought that would stop this behavior. But now this other person is a little bit younger, and it seems like it's just full-blown all over again here.
Yeah.
I mean, I thought
the ED,
that would have slowed him down.
The ED comes because there's no risk, no adrenaline rush in having sex with you, see? So whether it's pornography that's risky or it's the younger person he's not married to, you get that's why pornography neuters men. That's why there's such a big industry for sexual dysfunction of men, erectile dysfunction.
I was sitting with a man on the airport the other day, and he was watching me read a book on sex addiction, and he said, I love the sex addiction. And I said, well, how long have you been struggling with ED? And he looked at me like I had three heads, because it is a classic thing that happens for men that struggle with chronic sex addiction.
Yep.
Doesn't sound like a good way to go.
We'll take a break.
I just absolutely believe in the mission of New Life, and I feel that the materials provided and the biblical counseling perspective is so valuable and not available in so many places. And New Life and membership in Club New Life provides access to the live program and also CDs available to listen to. So I know it's easy to turn on the radio and receive the benefit, but those services don't come without expense. And I would sure like to see the program remain on. So I would like to challenge listeners who listen and receive benefit but haven't yet given to actually give this year and continue the giving, of course, because more people need to hear.
Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE and ask how you can start your Club New Life membership today. 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Hi, everybody. Max Licato here. As a pastor, I've seen how important it is for people to come and get good Christian counsel. People make decisions that turn out to be the wrong decision. I heard Steve Arterburn say on New Life not too long ago that the same thinking that got you into your mess isn't going to get you out of it. If you find yourself in a spot and you don't know what the next right thing to do is, then won't you call the good people at New Life? They have a network of Christian counselors around the country that's more than 850 strong. Call today 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433. And tell them you need to find someone to help you. They're likely to have a counselor in your area to help you with whatever you're struggling with. It will be good, godly counsel. Call today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE, 639-5433.
We're glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now, back to the program.
Anything you want to say about Julie further?
I just want to say, Julie, that, you know, while he's acting out his addiction, it is like a drug. And he's going to refuse everything you suggest because that gets in the way of, you know, what he's feeling right now. But eventually that will wane. And that's where I think you have to make it more painful for him than the high he's getting.
Right.
And hasn't been that way in the past.
We're not wanting divorce. We're wanting consequences and him coming to grips with the consequences of his behavior. All right. Let's go to the second Julie that's on our screen here from Seattle, Washington, KGNW. Hello, Julie. How are you?
Hi. Thank you for taking my call.
Certainly.
Yes, I have a suspicion that my husband is engaged in online pornography, but I don't really have evidence because he seems to clear the history on our computer.
There's your evidence.
Mm-hmm.
There's your evidence. And here's what you do. Honey, every time you use the computer, I notice that you clear your history.
Would you stop doing that
so I could go and visit some of the sites and learn some of the things that you're learning?
You know, I have tried that, but he twists it around as if I'm accusing him of being secretive.
Say yes, honey. I am. And if I'm wrong about this, please forgive me, but you know what? I've heard from some professionals that the only men that erase their histories are men that have something to hide in the histories.
Okay, so let's say he does have something to hide, but he won't open up to me. How do I, without making him mad,
That's our dilemma, sweetheart. You're not going to do this, and you're going to everybody have a smile on their face and hold hands and go to bed hugging each other. That is not going to happen here. And that's what you're wanting to happen. You're wanting him to rise
really
from
nice.
The computer and say, "Darling, I love you so much. I'm going now to get help. But first, let's go to bed and have a lovely evening together. You're going to have to cause some conflict here. Here's the thing. You've been keeping the peace, haven't you?
No. I'm actually pretty confrontational, but I can't open the locked box. And I don't know if it's my style or I've caught him a couple of times seven years ago, by, and then I told him how I found the history, and now he knows, so he clears it. So I don't
what
know
did
if
you
I
catch him doing years
put
ago?
In software
what,
or
what,
just,
what did you catch him doing years ago?
Oh, I just found sites. I was looking up something online, mm-hmm. and an online porn site came up when I was typing something. And I said, "How did that get there?" And I know there's something, but I just don't know how to get him to open up to it. I mean, I'm ready for the truth.
You know what's sad is that his defense of pornography has become the priority over intimacy with you.
Mm-hmm.
See, here's how a husband that isn't guilty responds. Oh, honey, I am so sorry. You know, I was clearing that history to free up memory space and all. I will never clear my history again because I want you to be able to see every site that I go to because I want our intimacy to grow. Mm-hmm. But see, he's covering up. He's defensive. And he's not trying to win your heart, is he?
No.
And he'll get angry, and he'll continue to escalate to get you to go back to being nice.
Yeah.
And
okay,
to back away.
So Julie, we have the truth for you. Do you want the truth right now?
Yes.
Your husband's a sex addict, struggling with pornography, and he just went underground.
Yeah, and he hasn't done anything to develop character, has he?
I guess not. I don't know how to answer that question.
Well, because when you confronted him, he had been to porn sites. Now he erases his history.
In 7 years.
But there's no change in him, the man.
Mm-hmm. It's like Sherlock. You just showed him. You just told him about the clues that you were looking for, and he just went deeper underground. That's what sex addiction does. And the scary part is it doesn't stay stagnant. Sex addiction, like any other addiction, it's a process addiction. It continues to grow.
Tell me about the sexual intimacy that you guys have together.
We're intimate. I'm not.
Well, that sounds exciting. Well, we're intimate.
It's
what was that,
it's,
Julie?
Not fulfilling to me, if I can say that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I know he does masturbate a lot, and I don't. I don't know. I on the one hand, I feel like that's unfair to me that he does
it is.
That.
Yeah. It is. It takes away his desire for you. It puts in his mind all of those idealized pictures, all those things that he viewed, even when he viewed them years ago. They're still there. They're still up there. They don't go away. So.
And there's no way for you to compete with that.
No.
No, and. So I
see,
guess
everything, here's the standard. Everything he does sexually needs to be known by you, approved by you, involving you.
Mm-hmm.
So he hides his masturbation, but you know anyway. It doesn't involve you, and it's not approved by you. So that's what sex addicts do. They have sex outside of marriage. It's not known by you. It doesn't involve you. It's not approved by you.
Mm-hmm.
Now, here's the question. Are you willing to deal with the fact that he loves his addiction more than he loves you right now?
Yes.
Okay. So, but it is an addiction, and once he takes care of the addiction, things will get better. So, here again, we have a situation where you say, honey, you know, we've been struggling with this. I know what you do. I want you to go get some help so we can have the marriage that we signed on for in the very beginning.
So you might ask him why he feels so inadequate sexually.
Mm.
And he may say, well, I don't.
I know the answer to that.
Okay. What's the answer?
I can't seem to reach orgasm with him.
Oh, big deal. It's rare.
So he just cuts you out of the picture?
It's rare that women can do that. well, the way it's in the movies and stuff. So,
but let me speak this. Mm-hmm. Under your situation, Julie, I mean, it's so important for a woman in that place to be able to feel safe and like she can rest and relax.
Yeah.
And if you have got this knowledge of fear of him struggling with pornography, using pornography, how are you going to relax and come to orgasm? I mean, that's just like,
well, how are you going to connect with him emotionally when it's all about his performance?
Mm-hmm.
It's not like having sex with another person. It's like he's having sex by himself with you.
See, and if you could do that, then he would be saying, well, you do it too soon, you do it too late. You know, it's all about excuses versus, honey, what are you doing to win my heart?
Yeah. So if he, I've wanted to go to counseling many times. I'm very open to that, but he is not. He's
Why would he go to counseling? Because that would be
that would
showing
just expose his inadequacy.
And the only reason he'd go to counseling is it would win your heart, and he doesn't really seem to be interested in doing that, does he? See, and that's kind of sadder than the pornography. That's something that, that's tangible, and that's something that you can deal with because you feel it.
Okay, so do I have to give an ultimatum?
I mean, think so. Yeah, I do.
You know, some women, you know, give an ultimatum, and as Steve shared earlier in the program, it means, you know, we need a period of separation until we can come clean. If you're not willing to come clean, I need you to go. I want you to go to EMB. And if he's not willing to go, then you just kind of keep upping the ante. Some people will go get a lie detector test, right? They'll get into counseling, get with a therapist, and they'll just say, I need you to do this. I have some questions I need to ask you. Do not tell him the questions before you go. Just go through the process, and then it comes out. And a lot of guys all of a sudden get really nervous about that, and there might be some truth that comes out because they don't want to have to go through that, right? But it's something. You need something to help, you know, press in, because what's happening by just, you know, not wanting him to make him mad and being the good girl is not getting you anywhere. So what do you want to do for your first step, my dear?
I want to get him to admit it. I want to do whatever it takes to get him to admit it.
No. You've been trying to get him to admit it. He won't. What you want him to do is be willing to do something different, see? And that's why you need an ultimatum. Like, I don't care if you admit it or not. Go. Go get help. I don't need help. I don't care if you need it or not. Go get help.
Okay.
Yeah, addicts lie a lot. And they blame and they manipulate. It's just part of the addiction cycle.
And you need to get yourself to a Sexanon or an Al-Anon meeting today.
Codependence of Sexual Addicts,
right.
COSA.
COSA. Right. Okay? All right. Glad you called. I'm going to send you Every Man's Battle. I hope you like it. Hope it helps.
I counsel people every single day. I help marriages. I help broken people find healing. I teach the good news of a Savior that loves us. But why can't I accept it myself and break free from this bondage? I can't stop looking at pictures that I shouldn't be looking at, and fantasizing and lusting, and now I've taken it a step further and gone to a strip club. I have to stop. I want to stop.
At New Life, we've helped thousands of men just like this find hope, healing, and a plan to move forward with their lives through our one-of-a-kind Every Man's Battle Intensive Weekend. Call us right now at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
I need help, and I can't do this on my own. I want to be the pastor that God wants me to be.
1-800-NEW-LIFE. At New Life, we are passionate about helping people experience recovery. And it's no exception when it comes to recovery from the addiction to drugs or alcohol. We are very grateful to have found what we believe is the premier facility to offer a Christian 12-step model of care. It treats the whole person and offers biblical values as the foundation for treating the mind, body, and spirit. Our partner in drug and alcohol addiction provides exemplary medical and psychiatric care, as well as Christian-based psychotherapy, pastoral counseling, biblical studies and meditation, educational groups, worship and prayer, and a Christian 12-step program. The approach is non-denominational and guides the patient to experience freedom through a renewed relationship with Jesus Christ. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE if you or someone you love is struggling with drug or alcohol addiction. That's 1-800-639-5433 or go to newlife.com. 1-800-NEW-LIFE, 1-800-639-5433.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now, back to the program.
Okay, we're back. Anything else we want to talk to Julie about? I think we're done with Julie. I wish we had something stronger, better.
It's hard stuff to hear. It really is.
Even when you know it's true, it's really hard to face.
Okay, Jennifer, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
You listen to us on Facebook?
Yeah, I follow you on Facebook. That's how I saw about this show today.
Okay, so how could we help you?
Well, here's a little bit of background about my situation. My husband and I, we got married June 2010. We're both 23. He's in the military, so we dated and we were engaged long distance. After we got married and we moved in with each other right away, within a week or so, I found out that he had been looking at pornography online.
Okay.
I had no idea.
Okay.
And then throughout, you know, the first year of our marriage, that was the only thing we fought about because I grew up with my stepdad and my dad having addiction to pornography.
Oh, wow.
And
so you're devastated over, now you're in this thing.
It's the biggest reason why it bothers me is aside from the fact that I'm a Christian and I want to have a marriage based on God's beliefs.
Right.
My stepdad, he took his addiction too far with me and my older sister trying to look at us change and you know, trying to touch us. So that's one big reason why it bothers me.
Yeah.
But then it's gone from, you know, him looking at pornography and always trying to hide it from me, and I'll always find it because God's blessed me with discernment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like he finally admitted to me about the fact that he would reject me when it came to being intimate because he was masturbating while he was away from home.
Right. Okay.
What's
the question?
When is enough when it comes to me trying to keep my kids safe? Because I have two little boys. You know, I grew up around this and I had an addiction to it myself.
Okay. Let me share this with you. You are so fortunate and I am so glad you're calling us right now. Because a lot of people that call say, I've been dealing with this for 30 years. Well, if you're dealing with it for 30 years, you've kind of trained the person that it's okay to do it.
Mm-hmm. It's become a lifestyle.
So enough is enough. And let me tell you what he thought.
Enough is enough when you find out.
Right. And he thought when he got married, it was going to take care of the problem. Did he ever tell you that?
No.
No. A lot of guys think, well, once I'm married, you know, I won't be doing this. But then instantly they want to do it even more. But what you have to do is you have to say, look, you have to get some help, or I have to let all of our family know that you couldn't satisfy me even for 1 year in our marriage.
That's the thing, though. Like, I told him something had to happen. We read, you know, Every Man's Battle together.
Uh-huh. Now
there's a small group through our church called Called to Conquer that he's been going to, but part of what he has to do is write in a journal every night and call an accountability partner every night, but he's not committing to that.
Yeah, it hasn't been enough. So you tell him, you have to go to Every Man's Battle, or I have to...
We have to step up the treatment.
Yeah, I have to go public here with my family and others that we're separating because you couldn't give up the pornography. I have to be truthful with them. I have to tell them what it is. So either, and he's going to be furious and angry and threatening and all that and say, honey, I know it's horrible, but you just need to go get this taken care of. And then we're all good.
Well, yeah, and you know, you grew up with this, so you know it doesn't just go away. It gets worse.
Honey, I can't imagine you knowing that I grew up with this. I can't imagine that you wouldn't want to take this out of our marriage totally for me, your wife. I can't imagine you wouldn't be willing to do anything so that I wouldn't have to experience this again in my marriage.
Yeah.
Okay? You say those things, and you...
And you can also tell him that you understand that he may not believe there is hope to get past it.
Right.
And so a lot of men resign themselves to it because they think they just can't get past it.
And then you say this to him. My dad gave me the money so that you could go to this thing. I've signed you up, and here's where you go at this time. Don't wait for him to call and sign himself up. The chances of him going are greatest if you enroll him in Every Man's Battle, get it taken care of, and all he has to do is show up. There are a lot of guys that would go.
So are you saying that she needs to kind of guilt her dad and saying, Dad, because of you, I married a sex addict, so you need to ante up?
Exactly what I'm saying. Father?
You know, I talked to my dad about it because when my husband finally admitted to me, you know, his reason for rejecting me, I went home to Maryland for the weekend, and my dad told me that I was overreacting and that I need to leave him alone and that, you know, it's okay, basically, because my dad never admitted to the fact that he has a problem.
Well, right. get the money from your mother then, because your dad is being, he's never dealt with it.
He's not sober. But let me say this, Jennifer, I want to speak to something, because when your husband said that he's rejecting you because he's masturbating away from home, underneath that, do you know that there is a fear of intimacy? He's rejecting you because he's afraid to be intimate with you. There is a comfort in disconnection. And you also were vulnerable with us today to say that you struggled with pornography yourself. And so both of you have intimacy issues. And both of you stepped into this relationship, having been engaged long distance. There was a lot of distance, a part of your courtship. Mm-hmm. And so there are some really core intimacy issues that need to be addressed. You guys need help to work with a therapist to learn how to connect and to be intimate with one another.
Yeah. I'm so glad you called, and I'm glad you're dealing with it now. And if I were you, I would be going to see a counselor. I would be demanding that he get help at Every Man's Battle. I would be getting some support from COSA or Sex Addicts or Sexanon or Al-Anon or something where you can get the support that you need.
And while admitting, like Sherry was saying, that both of them struggle with intimacy that you get it. You get it.
Yeah.
That it's a hard thing for him.
You go take care of your problem that's hurting our intimacy. I'm going to take care of my problem.
And we'll take care of it together.
This.
Yeah.
All right. If you're struggling in this area, we have an Every Man's Battle workshop coming up in 2 weeks. Do something about this. If you have a family member, you call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Sign them up. 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Sign them up and tell them to go. It's the last one we do this year. What a great thing to go into the holidays. And this has been taken care of. What a great, great thing. This Friday, we're going to talk about boundaries. If you've been interested in that, you call us. If you have a friend that needs to know about Every Man's Battle, tell them to go to newlife.com, and they can see the story that was on Channel 4 in Los Angeles. It's at newlife.com. It was on KNBC Channel 4. It's an inside look at Every Man's Battle. We gave them exclusive privilege to come in and film, and the guys were willing to do it, and I'm telling you, it is powerful. So 800 New Life if you need help, and then newlife.com if you want to see that. And if you've never supported our ministry, we had about 1,000 people be first-time givers in the month of October, and I'm hoping and praying that you would give in November. If you will support us, if it's your first time to ever support us, I'll send you a copy of Walking Into Walls. Absolutely, no matter what gift you give, I'll send you the book. Walking Into Walls, 5 Blind Spots That Block God's Work in You. You want it, you call us, be a first-time giver, and that is coming your way at 1-800-NEW-LIFE, or you go to newlife.com. We love you, we care about you, we'll be here next time on New Life Live. Thank you, Jill. Thank you, Sherry. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by getting you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you.
But you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1018, Laguna Beach, California, 92652. Please join us again tomorrow for New Life Live.